No.
Okay, the mics are back on.
Okay, so we will call to order then the Board of Directors Workshop Meeting of May 11th, 2022. We have a, well, do we need to do a roll call?
Just to confirm for folks who are on the
okay.
call.
Okay, Mr. Savage, could you please do a roll call?
President Barron.
Here.
Vice President Ross.
Here.
Director Palmer.
Here.
And I'll note that Directors O'Neill and Armin are not.
Yes, thank you. Item number two is public comment. Members of the public may address the board on any items of interest within the subject matter, but not on this agenda. Anybody online for public comment?
Okay. No online.
Close the public comment. And number three is board workshop discussion regarding our fiscal year 2022-23 budget. And I believe we will turn this over to Mr. Savage.
Correct.
Thank you.
So let me bring this up so that I'm going to be trying to deal with it on two screens here just because of the way this is going to have to be done since the projecting PC is not on Zoom. So let me get this to everybody can see the same thing. 1 second. Okay. So if we look here, what I've done for you as a starting point is shown you the current year's budget, the prior year's budget, given that I wanted you to have a little bit of trend information, but since we're looking at this kind of at the highest level. And then I started some high level kind of conversations as far as a proposed budget is concerned. Now, the first number I would draw you to is D8 there, which is the beginning balance number. I assumed a 3.5 CPI increase to that. In reality, we know from the attachments that are to this item as well as when I described it in our cash balance, the cash balance is sitting around $275,000. So there's actually a good chunk that could go up at this point. So $75,000, $70,000.
Can I ask what the beginning balance is? Is that the starting funds we have? Is that what that means?
Ask that again. I want to make sure I'm.
What? Okay, I guess my question to make it real simple is at the bottom of the spreadsheet, there's an ending balance from the previous year or the current fiscal year. And then there's a beginning balance for the new year. It seems like the ending balance and the beginning balance should be the same number. So what am I missing?
The 108 should be our beginning balance.
I would think so, unless there's something else going on. Am I missing?
So yes, I concur completely. You would think that that's the case, but there are a couple of things going on. First of all, revenues will increase some because of the tax assessment going up a little bit with beginning balance. So yes, however, we are also tracking quite a bit behind where we were expecting to be from a budgetary perspective. So we've spent roughly 48% of the current year's budget. I haven't had a chance to look in to what we're committed to spending, and that's why I just went with the current year's number. So that's why there's
okay. So that would just get my mind wrapped around. So you are showing budgets and not actuals for anything, even the current slash past year.
Correct.
So I guess it seems like we ought to throw the reality in somewhere. But
yeah. So that's the part I've been unable in the last 30 days to sort out. The M&S person who helps with that, unfortunately, been on vacation, so I haven't had a chance to really interact with her a whole lot to understand exactly how that's done. The other thing we have in many cases is a backlog of invoices. We've been bringing them to you as they come in, but some of the contractors have not been sort of always on top of getting them to us in a timely fashion. There's some of that going on as well. So when I look at something like cash balance, what I'm saying in that is we've probably spent money that's not showing up in our current balance. So when I say, in that other sheet, it looks like we're at 48% of something. That's what we've actually seen the expenses turned in for versus maybe what we've incurred, right? So if I use M&S and Doug is here, If M&S yes, has a $7,000 bill to us that they haven't turned in for last January, that could show up in the rent.
So there are ways to add those as rows in the spreadsheet?
There certainly are.
So again, I encourage reality to be the driver on this.
So one of my struggles with that has been, for instance, let me just give you an example. So I'm right there with you, Director Ross. Let me scroll down on both of these to row 24 here is a perfect example of this. And again, sorry to pick on M&S here, but I think it probably shows, it's demonstrative of what I'm getting at. I don't know if there's ever been a month that has in total for M&S's services been $1,500, or if there is, there've been very few a month, right? The reality is something more like $4,500 a month. And to your exact point, you know, if I try and project with using what was assumed in last year's budget versus what we've been doing, a much better number is, well, what's it really look like? And then I'm trying to also be cognizant of the fact that you've now hired me, and some of what M&S was doing now has shifted to me, and you know, I'm trying to help keep the lid on M&S costs at the same time. And so there is that kind of give and take of, okay, we're going to move from this bucket into that bucket. And what's the reality versus what was budgeted, what we shouldn't budget for. So I'm right there with you.
So maybe to add on to that then, because both Mr. Savage and I are maybe a little more familiar on how these government budgets work, because it is for purposes of workshop, good question. We'll look to you to get to the bottom of that, but maybe when we have our budget, we always have an estimated actual. That's what we estimate will actually happen. It's not what actually will happen, it's what we estimate, and those things are often different. So I think when we come back with the budget, you'll have a better estimated actual, talking about the very things that you just talked about. And then the proposed beginning fund balance, which is our fund balance of money we haven't spent yet, that number will presumably change a little bit as well. So maybe we proceed with that. And I also note, so with our ending balance on 21-22, that assumes we spend everything in all these line items, and that's probably not going to be the case. Some of that will carry over to next year. That's very common as well. And so a good estimated actual for our ending balance will then help us with our proposed fund balance for the beginning.
Completely agree. And from a governmental budgeting perspective, as you know, you have to basically.
It took me a long time to get
reconfirm that you want to spend that money. Even though, you know,
and then when I finally got it, I retired.
So all perfect points, and I think Aaron gets back next week. Yeah, so she'll be returning next week, and then I'll be able to help dig in. To all the things that are going on. She's the one who helps us with the county spin system where all this is kept. And
so one comment, I was trying to decide where in this process we could talk about it. Maybe I'll just throw it out there and then you can address it when you want, also with Mr. Pike here. So when we split the general manager and district engineer, that again, can't thank you enough, Mr. Pike, for all that you've done for these last couple of years. There was the expectation that our costs overall would be reduced. That's when we hired Mr. Perot. And so one thing I'd like to ask you, Mr. Pike, to work with Mr. Savage is that the burn rate of the last several invoices, you know, is not gonna work, you know, in the long term with the general manager now and then the M&S stops. So we'll be looking for you guys to work together and make sure we have the M&S costs and the general manager costs back in line with what we you know, we need to budget to. So
I appreciate that. And one interesting thing is the invoice that was completed for last month reflects that, which you're saying. Our new general manager is very technically competent, and he's just run with everything, and so it's made a huge difference. And so this next invoice, you see a market reduction, and that's what you'd expect to see.
Yeah.
And we were all pleased about that. Yeah. We all want that there.
Thank you.
The other side of that, however, back to my original comment about budgeting $1,500 for M&S, I'm going to tell you, I don't, based on what I'm seeing, I don't think that's necessarily realistic. So it's kind of that wishful budgeting versus what do we really, really think we can drive to and still get everything done we need to get done. Right?
Well, and I think what we've seen is when we were in the first year where we were just, you know, establishing our roots and trying to set our direction, you know, now we got a lot of stuff going on here. I recognize we got a lot of stuff going on. So I agree with that comment. And then at the same time, we need to make sure that we stay in a box that doesn't, if we run ourselves out of money, that's not going to do anything either. So
the one thing that needs to be discussed more fully is that the role of Marion Taylor has evolved. And Lisa can comment on that, but accounts receivable, accounts payable, website management, and chasing down special projects, mailings, things like that. So that's been one area that my time's reduced significantly, but their time has been maintained at a certain level. So that I accept it. Look at that more.
Yeah.
Because that's what will sustain a certain.
Yeah, I think we need to take a critical look at a lot of that and make sure that, I mean, we have some very strategically important things going on right now. We want to make sure that activity surrounding that is really essential to those, to these essential items that we have.
Yeah, and the other thing we've done is our billing rates haven't changed in 4 years. So we try to keep it down that way.
Yeah.
And then I've actually reduced my billing rate.
Yeah. So. Like I say, we are very grateful to you, Mr. Pike, and M&S for really getting us to this point. And but we do have the reality of the budget too, and so we just make sure we keep an eye on that.
And if I could on that, I think one thing that might be helpful is to, instead of looking at it, M&S, is that there's engineering services, and then there's administrative services, right? And then so we've got a budget for engineering, and we've got a whatever a realistic budget is, assuming we're keeping our administrative services with M&S, which, I mean, I think that works rather than trying to find a part-time, I mean, that's up to you from a management standpoint. That's a whole nother set of issues with consistency and quality and all of those things. So, and maybe it's two distinct invoices, right? It's like, I'm just thinking about, because we've evolved from M&S kind of getting us stood up and supporting us, but, you know, but anyway. I think we're all saying the same thing, but I think it's just, yeah, it should be two categories rather than.
Yeah.
And then you can manage to that budget, then set a budget and manage to the budget. You know, you get the idea.
So moving down a little bit, got a little ahead of myself in the special tax assessment. I think it was Director Barron mentioned that he thought that it might actually go up by more than this.
Yeah, what did you figure?
I assume 3.5%.
Oh, it's going to be more than that. I think we use an index that is very similar to what the county uses. And I heard that number was at least double that.
I think we use the same one. We deliberately tied it to the same one the county uses. So whatever the county is doing is what we're doing. It's LA Long Beach.
Yeah. All urban.
All urban. All,
yeah.
So I can certainly, I'm assuming, kind of with the county and get an actual number for that. I didn't know what to use. I knew it was by some percent.
It was 7.9% for the number.
Okay, I was going to say 8. So,
isn't it supposed to go up every year? Or I mean, the amount we get is going to go up every year, right?
Yes.
So what I'm looking at looks like special tax assistance was 196 last year. And coming is going to be 188. Am I reading that wrong?
Yeah, it says 2023 proposed is the same as 2021.
Yeah, so it should be above 196, right?
Well, what happens is that we discovered in the past is that there are certain people don't pay the tax bill.
So for some reason the version this is not the right one.
And that's what we all have.
Yeah. I can see that. It should be 203.122.
In the column D.
Right here. Yeah. Not sure why that didn't calculate. It should say 202122.
Okay. Good. That makes sense.
Yeah.
I'm gonna sort this out next time because I'm
still, still true. There's always a handful of individuals that simply don't pay their tax bill. So the numbers are always less than what are projected. Every August we send out a list of all the parcels in the district, and that changes because some lots consolidate, and that's what's been happening. We start with 220 lots, we have like four hundred and twenty now, we have like 383 that pay. So we've exempted some like churches and schools because they have their own tax, open tax. And when we have an assessment, property 18 assessment, those will no longer be exempted. We'll have to pay for their services.
So we'll get that sorted out. I'm not sure why ultimately you get down to this number right here. This is the big kind of bucket that I hopefully drew your attention to on the other one, this row 21. And that is this conversation around how much do we anticipate spending for other consultants and that sort of thing, spending down grants where we can, that sort of thing. So that to me is the big sort of unknown at this point. If there are some funds, you'll see further down, there's a little bit set aside for the 218. So if we begin engaging in additional contracts with, let's say, Stantec or N5 or any of these other folks, that's where that number should come from. So I appreciate hearing any thoughts on how you think that should go.
So our contracts right now, we have in place, we have the money, some back with grants, some not. So looking forward for the year, it seems to me we could do this a couple of ways. One, we could take an estimate based on what we think would be a number. I mean, we could put in a number. I mean, we could just go to the zero sum game at the bottom and look at what we want our ending balance to be and back out a number that we think we have to live with in that one, which might not be a bad way to go. And then the board always has the ability to take money out of our fund balance and put it in at one of these line items. And that's just an action by the board to do that if there was something that we felt we needed to do, something that we've done. Mr. Savage, you've seen that at the County of San Luis Obispo. I've seen it thousands of times at the County of Santa Barbara. It's a very common way to do it. So if we know that we're gonna budget, like I say, like let's say we knew we were gonna budget construction this fiscal year. We're not, let's just say we were. Well, then we would put a line item in that would estimate that. Do that at the county all the time as well. So I'd suggest that maybe on this one, take comments from the other board members, but I think we maybe take an approach of looking at what our fund balance policy is, and then see if the resulting number that goes in there makes sense with what we might do next fiscal year. And this comes down to the harsh reality of there might be stuff that we want to do, and we simply don't have the funding to do that. For instance, going to final plans and specifications. That's going to be another chunk of money to get to that point, and that might be something that we seek other grants. Which leads my next question is, in terms of our revenue, we don't have any grants estimated in this. I don't know if we probably, no, we don't have anything even applied for, so it's not appropriate. We would make that budget revision if we got a grant mid-year on next fiscal year. We would do a budget revision, we put that grant in. So
I guess I'm mystified as to how we can do a budget without a roadmap. So we should have some idea, at least a good guess, as to what's going to happen between July of 2022 and June of 2023. So are we expecting to have a Prop 218 vote at the end of this year, or what are we thinking? I mean, it seems like we need to put together that story and what happens if it passes and we go into final design or whatever. I don't know all the terminology, but it seems like you should point out or document what our best guess is as to what's going to happen.
I think another way to do that is to flip that over and say, well, how much money do we have to do? And then roadmap what we think our top priorities are with that money that we have available.
Well, it's chicken and the egg, but yeah, I guess the point is we should end up with, here's our roadmap, what we think is going to happen, and here's our budget. That's what we need, I think. Is there a different way to do it? I don't know.
I agree, because our goal is to get a Prop 218 election next year. So what do we need to do to accomplish that, right? What can, I mean, what other additional contracts do we need, or what work needs to be done to tee that up? And then we figure out what that looks like. And if we have the budget to do it, we've got, I think we do.
So maybe a question for Mr. Trindle. Can you do a Prop 218 vote, say for construction of say part of the system with environmental not done?
They're gonna need the environmental.
So, that section. You know, I've been kind of hinting that expectations on when this Prop 218 is gonna happen. We've always put these dates out there, and it, you know, we're a new district still, and we're trying to piece this together. I mean, I'll be the first to say a Prop 218 election next fiscal year is going to be a tough goal to meet. We don't have we haven't even started the environmental because we can't. There's so many unknowns, and I'll say it again, the quickest way to slow down the project is to go too fast. So I think we need to just see how this plays out. I agree we could try to roadmap out. So what are the next big items? Final design, environmental, and the engineering report, and the cost associated with the 218 election.
And we have to have final in order to do the full environment.
You're gonna need all of the pieces,
right? I mean, we can't wait, so we can move forward with funding, grant funding at 30% or 60%, but 60% considered final? I mean, what?
No.
Okay, so we have to, right? So we've talked about this, but we have to get to final in order to get the environmental review.
But that's not what we said before.
No, I don't think we need to do, I don't think we need to be at 60 or 100% to start the environmental, because the environmental.
But what do we need to finish?
It's different to start the environmental, but to finish it and hold an election.
Yes, that's the question.
Well, because we need to know what the system looks like. What is the site? What's the cost of that?
Yeah, I agree. But we have to map it out and figure out what information to be developed and what it's going to cost us to develop.
Can I mention on the environmental? Of course, we have a budget for that. We have $75,000 as part of the EHS money earmarked for that, and some additional studies or engineering to facilitate that. But we always assume, and so I'm looking at the question in mind for someone who's more knowledgeable on this, that all we really needed to get to an assessment vote was not a final approved environmental document. What we need is a preliminary environmental assessment for the determination of what that document will be. And then, your initial list of potential mitigations. The reason why that is always what we assumed is because you could spend $100,000, $200,000 to get to the end of the environmental process. And if you fail on the vote, it's wasted money. So you carry it as far as you need to so that you have a competent preliminary environmental assessment. And then you go for the Prop 218 vote. And
I'd have to think about that. I don't know that I would, I don't know that I'd like to go that way. Until you have a final environmental document, things could change. So how do you then budget for site acquisition, legal fees, all sorts of things that are in there. So again, in the attempt to shortcut, we might cut ourselves off. So
I think it compromises the potential of a successful vote too, based on,
yep.
I mean, with those unknowns, that's a reason.
If we do a 218 vote and then it turns out and we get it approved, and then it turns out we blew something and now we don't have the money to build what the vote was approved.
Nice.
So, yeah. That's the worst outcome.
So the one other factor that's in there is that we typically can't complete an environmental document until the permitting is complete. They run concurrently at the end.
Yeah, I disagree with that, Doug. I don't know if a sewer project is different, but on a lot of the large public works projects that we've done, we apply for the permits when we initiate the environmental process. Now they're going to sit and wait until they see at least a public draft of whatever the document is. But you wouldn't wait till the end of it to then go apply for permits. Probably not, especially for a small project, you could probably do that. That doesn't have a lot of environmental consequence, but if you're getting a waste discharge permit, I think you would start that.
I think you're right. I think those public agencies ought to receive a draft of the environmental document. They can comment on it, and
right.
We hope that their permitting requirements will be aligned.
Which is maybe a good thing for us to remember when we have our next meet. We also committed to have a follow-up periodic discussion with the regional board. They recognize that, hey, we should keep our communications open on that. So that would be a good question. Where would they want to see the environmental process before contemplating waste discharge permit?
Okay, good conversation.
Yeah.
Bringing us back specifically to how you want me to approach this one, though.
Sorry, let me interrupt.
Yeah, okay, go ahead.
I always like the action items when you have the discussion. So I am willing to do roadmaps if that would say, because I know this would just be your thing, but if it would lessen your burden, I'd be glad to put out drafts of roadmaps and kind of force the issue on what really has to happen if you'd like me to do that. But I think we need to make it a priority to have a picture of what we're going to be doing over the next year and a half.
I think what we could do is we could certainly do that. Appreciate that offer, Director Ross. And maybe what we do is a combination of the two is we go through this and recognizing our policy for fund balance, back out what the number that's going to work in 7460, and then compare the two. And then if there's a shortfall there, grant. Go back to EHS and regional board and say, if we're going to complete some of these tasks during this fiscal year, we're going to need additional funding support to do that. So maybe what we do is we back into 7460 with the thought process that I just identified, and then take the light table and put Director Ross's roadmap on that and see where we are.
You know, we've been doing roadmaps all along, but we keep learning what are gaps and what are missing. And so your point is always a valid point. It's always timely to state it. As we get these products back from Stantec and from the effluent study and the assessment engineers report, we have to once again look and see what they'll be finding holes and say, hey, we need these items, and then that ties into the budget.
Well, and the siting is going to be a huge part of the environmental review, and that's another thing. If we didn't talk about it tonight, but where, is it at 30%? At some point we have to have the discussion and the community discussion, and I think that's part of the workshopping. But at some point we're going to have to identify a site.
Can I ask, Council, is having a discussion on the environmental document and legal issues, does that qualify for a closed session agenda at a future board meeting?
It depends on what it is that you would want to discuss. It has to fall within one of the exemptions under the Brown Act. So based on that description, I can't tell you one way or the
other. Yeah, maybe it's not right yet then for that.
Right, if you're talking about negotiations of real property, yes, there's an exception for having a closed session as far as that is concerned. A general discussion on environmental review, no, there isn't an exemption for that.
Yeah, and my thought was a general discussion on legal exposure to environmental review.
Depending, it's a factor of an inquiry. It would depend on the circumstances, maybe.
Okay.
But I wanted to, before we lose the thread, if there's going to be any involvement from the directors in offloading any of the responsibility from the general manager, I would strongly suggest you do that in the context of an ad hoc committee. That way, there isn't any question on your participation as a director versus participating in more of a staff-like function. That's one, because there are protections under the law that apply when directors are acting as directors that don't apply when acting as a staff. And I know it seems like a very thin discussion, or a thin slicing of it, but if we didn't slice it, then I wouldn't have a job. So that's number one. Number two, part and parcel of that, the board's been taking some criticism about having, by necessity, to have done that in the past. And that has led into this incorrect narrative of backroom deals and manipulation of, you know, of information. So if you have a new structure of the committee, it may help to provide more confidence to folks who have that incorrect impression.
So we do have the project management ad hoc committee, I think. We didn't meet last month, but I think we still have it.
Well, it's ad hoc, so you can call it at the pleasure and the need. Right.
So then maybe if I'm hearing council's recommendation is that roadmap actually be developed by Mr. Savage and all the directors can have input onto that, certainly through the project management subcommittee would be a perfect opportunity to provide that input, but it would be a product of Mr. Savage.
Correct.
I like that idea.
Okay. Thank you for that. Good discussion, I think. I'll not push on that one any further. I'll just continue down, noting that hopefully it's in this version. We're likely to see a contract at next month's meeting that will introduce a small increase in legal fees, just the hourly rates and such, and striving that number from 27 to 30,000. And just
that's not going to be 7.9%, is it?
No. Okay. Carry forward of the general manager contract through next year. Project management was something I also just carried forward, given the number that's there. If you think about what to Director Ross's earlier comment, think about what a real estimate might be. It's quite a bit higher than that. And I'll spend some time on taking a look at all the past invoices, better understanding that. The rest of the numbers I just kind of carried across. And I did want to note kind of here at the bottom, geez, I'm not sure what version. We do have a 10% reserve policy, right? That I attached to the bottom, the one that people online are seeing. And based on that budget, it'd be almost $42,000 in certification reserves. So when we play back, what I think I've heard is kind of, okay, here are some things for you to consider. First of all, get the real estimates that was heard loud and clear. I'll certainly work with them in a staff to be able to bring you some of that. I'd like to try and have a separate meeting before next, we do it the Friday before the meeting, right, with the finance subcommittee in particular. I'm assuming that's the same folks. Just to walk through that again, make sure.
Just check that date anything. Really quick here, because yeah, that's
so
the Friday before.
At least I'm going to be out of time for the period of that time, so squeezing that thing in might be interesting.
June 3rd
is okay. What it would be, I'm saying. There's a chance for you to have one sooner. I know you're gone.
I'll be back on the. I can do it the week of the 30th.
That might be helpful. Just one more quick iteration, one extra additional
on
iteration.
Well, the week of the 30th is also June 3rd.
That's right.
One of the same.
That's, I know, but it's not.
Yeah. Okay.
29th.
So, can I ask you about? You made a comment about 10% reserve, but not part of the annual budget.
So, as I understand the policy, we have a 10% reserve policy, right?
But I think it's what we have in the bank. It's not like every year we have to have 10% reserve. It's make sure that we have at least 10% reserve in the bank.
Correct. But I was just noting that we need to make sure that is at 10% as part of the budget.
And I think it's important from a public standpoint to have it reflected in the actual budget. There's a line item in there for a reserve.
That shows
so that people know we have a reserve.
Let me stop here and just ask if there's any public comment. Do we have any people online?
There is a couple of folks online, three.
So is there any public comment on this discussion?
I haven't seen any hands online.
Okay, I think we'll close the public on that then. I like the idea of you putting something together and then maybe meeting earlier than the third that week, if you can, Director Palmer, and then hopefully have something that's a little bit more solid than this that we can bring back to the board on the 8th. So remind me of the schedule, then we would come back with a proposed budget on the 8th.
Okay, you had that schedule at the last meeting.
Yeah.
Kind of half,
do you have
photographic
that?
Memory of it?
Yeah.
Let's see if I can bring that up for you real quick.
And just to throw out, I don't know if this is past muster, but if a member of the finance committee and a member of the project management committee want to meet with the director, with the GM, if I can't participate.
Yeah, there'd be a quorum of the board.
No, if there was just two. If it was just Tom from the finance and Brad from project management committee.
Sure, as long as none of the three of you talk to any of the other board members.
Yeah, I'm just another permutation if that helps get it done before the next board meeting.
Thought it was an easier objective.
It's from April 13th, right?
Yeah.
I've got it. I'm just looking at the packet.
April 13th.
Here we go.
What page is that?
It is on page 30. It's on the last page of the PDF from the April 13th board meeting, board packet. So budget workshop on the 11th. You prepare a draft recommended budget by the 20th.
Okay, so this would be board approves preliminary. This would now be June 8th and not the 15th because we move that. And then we publish. Okay, good. No, I like that. You know, I think, you know, in our budget, as I mentioned, it's actually a fairly simple process. You have the money you start, you get your taxes. A lot of these line items are, the insurance, the auditing fees, membership, office, all this stuff is like reoccurring, it's there. And the wild card is the professional services, and that's the chunk of money that we allocate to spend on the various work that we need to do, whether it's environmental or additional engineering or construction of another well or whatever it is. It comes out of that, which is the balance of our budget, which all gets us to the end point of a complete project that we can look for then going to an election.
One thought I had on the Prop 218 vote line item is since NV5 does that, maybe do a gut check with them on the services, or unless you did that already and that's what the 15 reflects. Just a thought.
Yeah. So no, that number does not reflect anything that they would provide us. I have asked NV5 for some ballpark numbers.
Okay.
They said they'd get them to me next week.
Thank you, Karen.
Okay, good. So I have a question about snail mail mailings. Did we decide we're not doing those anymore?
We did.
We did.
So I don't know if that's part of the budget thing or not?
I think
big postage.
Yeah, I think what happened too is some of that is actually in the M&S budget. It didn't get broken out, I don't think, into that category. But no, because we were between the mailing costs, I think we were close. It's a lot. So that's why we're pushing everybody to email, because it's just faster and more effective and a lot less expensive. And then making sure everything's posted on the website.
And stamps are
going up again. They are going up in July.
Are you saying double?
60 cents or something like that. So,
and that's the first installment they say.
So maybe our office expense, it says $2,000. And it says it's for postage, grain, and supplies. So I don't know if that's tied into emailings quite a bit.
Yeah, I think, I'm not sure what all was in the $15,000 for the 218, but there's some real expenses related to postage and mailing and everything else. And we'll get to that point as well. So I'll have to dig into that a little more as much as I can in the next couple of weeks. For instance, fees to actually run the election, right? With all that sort of stuff.
It's not cheap, I think. Plus whatever the outreach program would be, and it's $450,000.
All that stuff, yeah.
Yeah, I mean.
So what is our current estimate for when we're doing the top 218 votes?
I think that depends on who you talk to. I think it's, the answer to that is when all the information's complete. And as I said before, but will that happen next fiscal year? We'll see.
And it goes to finding gaps, right?
And yeah.
We've always put a target on it. And then when we get close to that target, we realize there's a lot more we need to know than what we anticipated. So this is the first septic to sewer project since Los Osos. And so the only one within arm's reach of anybody that lives here. And we lived through that only because of the news and the entertainment value of watching the wars.
And what's going to be really critical here is that, we're going to have an acquisition of a site. I've been doing this long enough, and it's very common that that's an acquisition. What's the word I want to use? Eminent domain. Very, very possible that. And so if we're going to have an election, we don't know what those costs are. I've been involved in plenty of those, and the final number is often a lot different than what you thought the original number was going in. So, that's all really important information, to have. So that's why I say to think we're going to have a 218 next fiscal year is out. Like, see if it does.
Those are the two places where you're likely to see potentially the biggest threats, is the environmental process and then doing the acquisition of the site.
Yep.
Because
there's potentially going to be acquisitions, not just on the treatment site, but there is acquisitions for the pipeline that are going to have to go through private property that's going to be involved there as well too. I have no idea where that is yet, and on the design yet, and who those people are that might think okay, not okay, and that can. So there's a lot. Mr. Savage, do you think you have what you need, or did you have anything else?
I've got enough to fall forward.
Yeah.
And can circle back around with the finance.
Well, and then the finance committee is where we'll touch that up. Yeah.
Okay.
All right, then I guess we'll call for adjournment. And thank you for sticking around. No.
I'll move we adjourn at 8:14. We can wait till 8:15.
Move in second, all in favor?
Aye.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming.
And Maria, I just now didn't have your hand raised before, but you have it raised now. Is there something I can answer for you?
Yeah, you know, when someone started talking about eminent domain, I, you know, wanted to ask a question. And that was, you know, really.